Everybody who's at our company is here because they're not afraid of change. If you're not in the digital business generation space, you know, if all of your methods of business generation are still more traditional, that's going to work for a segment of the agent population for sure. But I think overwhelmingly over time, if you want to be in this business and you want to remain relevant and remain successful, you've got to learn to adapt with it.
You are listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent, and I'm joined this week by Mark Edwards.
Thanks for having me back again, Sam.
Yeah, awesome. So we're going to enter a virtual world this week.
I'm excited.
So we did a story in our technology issue a couple of months back called Business Without Borders, and it was a bit of an inside the EXP World Holdings world. And we interviewed quite a number of people for that story. And the reason that we talked to them was because they had made an entrance into Australia, which is pretty exciting.
Mm.
So just after we did that story, one of the guys that we interviewed, Jason Gesing, he was then named CEO of the company.
And he's been with the company for quite a while, hasn't he?
Since the beginning. And incredibly, he agreed to an interview with me. And yeah, it's a pretty interesting chat about, you know, the founding of the EXP brokerage and how he and Glenn Sanford, well, they started in a virtual way, like virtual dining room tables across the cities from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in this podcast, we're going to delve into the whole growth story of EXP and how moving forward into the future, they're taking away the obvious geographic barriers to getting talent.
It's a pretty amazing experience, actually, when you get into the world. That's what they actually call it. They call it the EXP world. And it is like sort of Sim City for real estate.
Well, that's it. You can jump in and you can play soccer. And, you know, I can remember my old days back at BT. We had a big travel bill. It was actually good being a 25-year-old and bouncing around Asia. It was lots of fun. But I can just imagine that if we'd had a virtual world like this, then, you know, a lot of that would have been cut out. Mm. And then you think about, you know, the talent equation, like where am I going to recruit the best talent from? Well, you know, with EXP, it doesn't really matter where the best talent is. You know, if you need IT support, you can just jump into the world.
That's the really important part, I think, of what we experienced when we were doing the interviews for the story and the way in which Jason was explaining it and how we actually saw it in real life. It was that it's not just the novelty of being an avatar wandering around in a virtual world. It's actually, they are really engaging.
Yeah, feels real because you can talk to each other like we're talking to each other across the desk.
Mm.
But if you're in the virtual world, you'd still hear my voice. And if we were sitting in a training course in the auditorium, we could be sitting beside each other and talking to each other, having conversation, like, you know, if you're sort of at a, you know, an event. Or just picture you've got a mate sitting 10 rows in front. Well, they can't hear you. Mm. So it's very, very, very like real life. It's hard to explain. But one of these days, you know, they did offer us up some training space in the virtual world, which I think they hire out to people. So we might have to have an online event. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Let's give it a go.
Anyway, as usual with this podcast, I took some notes. So if you'd like to download those notes, go to eliteagentelevate.com. Hopefully there'll be a lot of inspiration there for you if you're trying to think differently about your business, maybe a bit left field.
Mm.
Really interesting growth story here.
Absolutely. I think from this podcast, a lot of people are going to possibly have a look at their business in a different way and not necessarily make the leap into the virtual world, but also look at how they are engaging with other people within their business. So there's a lot of great insights there.
Yeah. Really about teamwork, I think. You know, like, I think EXP looking to be the top destination for mega teams, particularly in the US, people that do 500, 600, 800 transactions per year.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And so this is a bit of an insight into a business that is looking to scale, you know, on a massive level.
Without actually having like the shop front.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's about it. Let's get on with it and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Jason Gesing.
Thank you, Samantha, for having me here. This is a first for sure, to be able to speak with somebody that's located almost as far away from me as you can possibly get. Yet here we are, and we come to this conversation knowing a little bit about each other, having spoken before, and you've been enormously gracious ever since we decided to move into Australia, and I'm thrilled to be here.
It's super interesting what you're doing with eXp Realty around the world. And you've just taken on the role of CEO. Like, as we did that story in Elite Agent, it was announced worldwide that you were going to be the new CEO. And I imagine that the world's gone a bit mental for you now. So we're going to get into your role at eXp shortly, but what did you do before real estate?
You know, ever since I was a child, I liked the business. And I think that's partly informed by one of my best friends growing up. His father was a developer. And so for me, I grew up with almost no money. I was raised by my mother. I never met my dad. But my mother sacrificed to put me in good schools right from the time that I was 6 years old. And that's where I met this friend. And so I was exposed to really high-end development from a pretty early age. And I certainly saw what the benefits could be for those who succeeded in that industry or succeeded in the real estate space. So it was an interest in that sense. And so I always, I guess, in some way wanted to do. I ended up, however, I was a practicing attorney for nearly 10 years from 2002 until I jumped in and started working with Glenn. But better part of 10 years, it was a transactional practice. So I was involved in commercial lease work, some land use matters, zoning board appeals and things like that, a little bit of collective bargaining, labor and employment, and a whole bunch of real estate. So I had that perspective as well on the business. And at the same time, I owned a small independent brokerage in Massachusetts, which is where I'm from. Didn't do much, but it was a nice diversion for me. I've had managing brokers credentials in a number of different states here in the Northeast. So at times I was both a practicing attorney and a brokerage owner and an agent who just continued to like the business. And I discovered that throughout the time that I was in it, that it was a better fit for me than practicing law was.
Interesting. And so the story of Glenn Sanford is quite well documented as far as eXp is concerned. He's like the Mark Zuckerberg of real estate, you know, like inventing this great virtual world and stuff like that. Like, how did you meet Glenn?
Yeah, it's so funny to hear you talk about him like that, because back in 2010, when I first met him, I mean, we had maybe 25 agents in the entire company in the United States. And I was the first person to come east of Arizona and saw the opportunity for what it was. But I was introduced to Glenn virtually, no surprise there. But somebody I was working with was presenting on a digital broadcast called The Real Estate Tomato, which was, perhaps you've heard of it in the past, but
great name.
Yeah. And the person I knew who was presenting, the presentation that immediately preceded his was Glenn's. And so at the conclusion of that, my friend called me up and said, let me tell you about this. And the next thing I knew, I was in the first version of eXp World, which was, it doesn't really resemble the platform that we own and that we use today, but it was avatar to avatar. And Glenn always likes to point out that we worked together for at least 6 months. It was perhaps even closer to 7 or 8 months on a daily basis, you know, side by side, sitting across a table from one another. But we never actually met in person until 6 or 7 months had passed when he came east and met me in Massachusetts. Now, people who are listening are going to be like, what in the world is he talking about? He just said he was sitting across a table from the guy. And you've seen it, Samantha. You've experienced it. Our office, our world at eXp is purely digital. I don't really like to say the word virtual, because I think that's a claim that many companies can make just because they have cloud storage or they're working together on Dropbox or whatever it might be. But we have truly taken the entire office and we have put it in the cloud. So if you come into our office, as you have, you know, we've got training rooms that are fully staffed by eXp employees. You know that we have speedboats that people can take a ride on and they can have races. We have birthday parties and baby showers and football games and all sorts of things, in addition to the business that's going on and the support that we're providing to our agents in pursuit of that business. But that's sort of how our paths have crossed. And I think at the time, the global financial crisis had hit and Glenn had reacted to that by drawing upon his technology expertise and saying, look, in order for us to stay in the business, much less succeed at it long term, because he had an independent brokerage at the time as well, you know, we really need to fundamentally change the way in which we're going about it. And that means getting rid of the offices, getting rid of the redundant staffing, but critically, making sure there's a way for people to interact with one another, a way for us to build community, because that really is an important part of the fabric of the life of the real estate professional. So Mark Zuckerberg, I think, you know, if we keep going for, you know, he's a man of such significance, Glenn is, but yet when I think about him, I think about our two avatars. And I can tell you, Samantha, 10 years later, he's the same guy that he always was. He's very, very humble. You know, you've spoken with him several times.
Yeah.
You know, incredibly bright, but just really wants to help. He's a great advocate for agents. I think certainly in the United States, there is no better advocate for agent interests in my mind than Glenn. And it's just been a real joy. And I've been the most fortunate person on the planet to be able to work with him and to be able to be a part of this.
So in the early days, like I do remember meeting Glenn back in 2015 at Inman in a very, very noisy environment. So, and the virtual world was in its infancy, but really probably the most interesting thing I saw at Inman that year. I mean, it must have been quite challenging to get traction early, having, you know, like it being so different. Like I can just imagine trying to explain a virtual world to a bunch of real estate agents. What were the main challenges in attracting people to the business in the early days?
Well, you had the traditional challenges, right? So you had, everybody's heard of various brands and they've heard about them because over time those brands have become more and more recognizable. But back in 2010, nobody had ever heard of eXp. But the additional challenge that was a bit unique is, as you suggest, which is we would go to trade shows and we would put a screen up and we would show our digital office and we would try and explain. People would ask, oh, that's cute. You know, what is that? What exactly is eXp? What do you do? And you would tell them, and this was back before people had the Google Cardboard and before Oculus was out with headsets and VR was in and people were looking at 3D tours. It was long before any of that. And so you would tell them that we were a brokerage and they would just sort of chuckle and they really could not process it. So it was a very, very challenging thing to try to overcome. But, you know, I think every brand that emerges goes through that period of time where people are resistant. And, you know, the interesting thing about this business is every market that we would try to get into or every market, we didn't really go after markets. I shouldn't say that. But when people would come forward and would have conversations and they were potential leaders to open markets, it was a little bit difficult for them to really get on board. And they all would say, well, you know, things are different here in my part of the country. Things are different in this, you know, in Texas. Agents, that may work in Massachusetts, but it's never going to work in Texas. And the people in Massachusetts would say, you know, it took 20 years for anybody to really accept RE/MAX. So every market thinks that theirs is going to be the toughest nut to crack, but they all have their own characteristics. And really for us, we never really looked at markets and said, we want to be in that market. We said, here's somebody who sees it, who gets it, who's passionate about it, who understands what's possible with it, and who really wants to go after it and who can succeed. And if we had the right people, and the same is true today, those are the markets that we do well in. The reason why we're in Australia, as of, I think we officially went live on December 2nd, but the reason why we're in Australia is because we think we have a great leader in Stephen Lee. And the reason why we're in the United Kingdom is because we think we have a great leader in Adam Day. And so, that's an approach that has served us well historically, and it's one that we think we'll continue to adhere to going forward.
Absolutely. You were part of the team also that was part of the IPO on the NASDAQ, and you IPO'd with a market cap of $1 billion on day one, which must have been an enormous amount of work and enormously satisfying given the early days and getting a new company off the ground. What does it take to get a company from zero to $1 billion in valuation?
Well, I'll tell you what. So first of all, the billion in valuation was the day that we migrated naturally and uplisted to NASDAQ. So you're correct about that. That was a high for us for sure. And we've only been on the NASDAQ now, I think it'll be 2 years next May. But initially we became public through the process of a reverse merger. And that was a field with which Glenn had some experience. And so he really knew about how to go and do this. But we acquired a publicly traded company, fully reporting. We merged into it. And the whole driver behind that was that we wanted our agents and brokers to be shareholders of the agency, right? We didn't want a situation where they had to go out and they had to buy shares on the public market just like anybody else. We wanted our agents to be shareholders, frankly, whether they wanted to be or not. We wanted them to be shareholders because they closed their first transaction of the year, or they produced at a certain level, what we call capping, or because they've helped the company grow by bringing somebody else in, or because they're such a high achiever that everybody in the market knows who they are. They basically set the market. They're the local expert. And so we created a program where agents would earn shares for being that person, for playing that role. And this whole idea of agent ownership, I mean, it was born out of the fact that if you look at any agency, and it doesn't matter if it's in Australia, it doesn't matter if it's in the UK, it doesn't matter if it's in the United States, you know, they can have the nicest office in the world, their CRM and their package of tools can be terrific. They could have great staff, they could have people answering the phones, they could have everything that would provide a really luxurious and sumptuous experience. But if they don't have agents in the agency, then they have nothing. At the end of the day, the only asset of any value whatsoever are the agents who are part of the agency, because they're out there driving the relationships. And that was really what prompted us to say, well, they should be owners. And so we started talking about agent ownership late 2013, early 2014. And then we put some programs in place where agents were going to earn shares just for doing things that they were going to do already. And the conversation really started to change pretty quickly and pretty dramatically. And I can remember, you know, people who would decline to be reimbursed for expenses because you'd say, save the receipt, we'll send you, you know, the money. And they'd say, you don't have to, it's my company, right? And so when you hear that, you understand that you've done something pretty extraordinary, and it was something that really resonated with the agents. So we've had the world for a long time. We've had the technology. We've had our revenue sharing model, and we've approached the business in the same way over the last 10 years. But in my mind, it wasn't until we introduced, embraced, and really tried to spread agent ownership among our agents, that's when we started to really propel from a growth standpoint. We ended 2015 probably with about 300 agents. We were at 864 to start 16, 2401 to start 17, 6,500 for 18. This year we started with about 14,000 and we just crossed 25,000. And
wow.
And I would say to you that if you go back and you look at what was the single thing that really sort of started all of that, it was the fact that we wanted our agents to be owners and we wanted to treat them like owners. And today we've got agents who are on our public company board of directors. We've got agents who are telling us what they need at every turn, and we are serving their interests as best we can. In the United States, you may have read that we just introduced healthcare to our agents. You know, that's not a moneymaker for us. That's just how do we provide the best experience, the best value that we possibly can for the agents who are out there really making the business happen.
Yeah. So I just want to point out for anyone that might be listening to this that what you've just described there is in stark contrast to some of the other companies we've seen in America who are just acquiring businesses everywhere. This is actually attracting people to you through something that agents obviously really want, which is they want to feel ownership of their business. And that drives a completely different set of behaviors.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I mean, certainly we could use the public vehicle to do acquisitions, but you know, we've built every bit of the upside into the model for everybody, right? So if a 100 person agency wants to come over, there's no acquisition there. It's just, here's the model, here's the program, here are the benefits to you as the owner in coming to eXp to begin with, and here's the equity that comes as a result of the agents who join you and that sort of thing. I think for the agency owner, that's where it really becomes compelling in terms of what the value is of eXp, because here, and Australia too. I mean, if you're licensed in Victoria and you want to get outside of Victoria and you want to go into, you know, Queensland, or you want to go into Western Australia, you've got to go and get another license, right? You've got different rules entirely that exist. I know this now from the last 8 months in Western Australia than exist in Victoria. The rules are different. The culture is different. The practices are different. The forms are different. The prevailing compensation is different. Certainly there's a wide range of economic conditions that exist between Western Australia and New South Wales. I mean, completely different economies. They have different industries that underlie them. But to do that in a traditional sense, you'd have to jump through all of these hoops. And so what we say to the owner is that for the first time now, you can really remove the ceiling to your growth, right? You no longer have to look, you know, 50, 75 kilometers outside of your office for talent and then stop because there's really nobody left, right? Or everybody who's left has told you they don't want to be with you. Now you can take all of that experience, all of that credibility that you've developed over the years, the respect that people in the industry have for you that has led to relationships in various states, different markets around the country, and you can actually grow an organization that includes those people and get a percentage of revenues that's really substantial, that allows you to earn what a RE/MAX franchisee would earn. But you don't have the territorial limitations. You don't have to go and sign the leases. You don't have to go and get new licenses. You don't have to go and figure out what the prevailing systems and tools are in your particular market that's going to cause people to want to be with you or to want to stay with you. We take care of all of that. We take care of the compliance, and you just focus on what it is that, you know, you're really passionate about. And that's the opportunity for the agency owner. But the, you know, the nice thing is about the model is, again, we put everybody on equal footing. So every agent in the company has the exact same opportunity. Now, some of them will have different levels of experience, and some of them will have more credibility than others. Some will succeed, some won't. But it's the same opportunity for everybody. You can build a business, build an organization without any geographical limitations whatsoever. And that's, I think that's wholly new and fundamentally different.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the virtual world just for a little bit, because this was actually one of my favorite bits of the whole thing was this virtual world, because I guess before I did this, I used to work for British Telecom and AT&T and some of the multinationals out here. And I do remember Australia was kind of like somewhere far away. They couldn't even get us right on the map usually. But still, we were supported in Australia by IT in the US and, you know, some marketing people in the UK. And, you know, like we were supported all around the world. But it was a terrible, terrible experience, because you would email someone during the day and you'd get an answer maybe 2 days later or something like that. So it was very difficult to do anything really. And as I was touring the virtual world a couple of months ago, I was like, oh my God, if we'd have had this back in, you know, 1998, where we could just literally walk up to an office, take a ticket from IT, and then be beamed into that office 2 seconds later, where I'd be actually be having a conversation with a real human, that would have made life a hell of a lot different. You know, in like, I see so many applications for recruiting talent and, you know, for taking, and I think that's why I called the story Business Without Borders, because when you take away the geographic boundaries, and I think more and more people are going to want to live somewhere and be able to work from wherever, I think the EXP model is a great example of that. But I'm interested to know how it's changed over the years, how you've developed it over the years, and how do you actually create culture with your employees?
Yeah. How much time have you got? So the first platform that we used, every time we've switched platforms or we've advanced the technology, I get a little nervous, because I kind of get used to what we have. And I remember I liked the first platform very much, but it was so different. I mean, your likeness, your avatar was really just a box on top of a longer box. One was the body, one was the head. And and we did not have a place to congregate, right? So if I wanted to meet with you, Samantha, your name was on a list, my name was on a list. This list was called the lobby. And then I would send you a text message and we would agree to meet in a room. But these chance run-ins, these chance encounters, just like you would have at the water cooler in a traditional office, that really didn't happen there. And that was that lasted, I think, probably we stuck with that until about 2012, 2013. Then we moved to a web-based platform, which I liked an awful lot. I thought it was great. But ultimately, it wasn't going to work for us long-term, just in terms of how effectively various browsers were supporting the technology. And so at that point, we started working with a company called Virbela. And Virbela was incubated out of the University of California, San Diego, and founded by somebody whose real passion is in human behavior and education. And so it's a technology, our world, that really is all geared towards how to get people to work together, one another, how to collaborate, and really how to want to keep coming back in, and how you can make learning better, and all of these different things. And so we've used it now for several years. We liked it so much that we acquired it late last year. And that's exciting in and of itself. You know, I can remember from a culture standpoint, one of the things that we started doing is every Friday morning, and this is something that is still true today, we would have our weekly leadership meeting. And we call it leadership, not because Glenn was up there or I was talking, or it was because the agents were leaders just by virtue of the fact that they were with EXP, right? They were the ones that walked past the booth, even though, you know, it seemed strange, it seemed foreign. They could see what was possible and they were going to make the jump. And that was really powerful. It was really galvanizing. And so that meeting alone really became a bit of a culture builder, if you will. I mean, I can remember one Friday early on, we probably had about 50 or 60 agents in that meeting. Today, we'll get about 500 or 600, and they're from all different markets. And we had just learned how to fly in our world. There was a way that you could fly. And so we started, you know, in the middle of the meeting, flying and doing exercises. And I remember there was one avatar, Joe Schumer out of New Mexico, who came flying right at me and nearly just like flew right into my head. And, it, you know, intuitively I ducked, even though there was nothing real coming at me. But I just, that meeting, it's really difficult to describe, but you get in there more than once, twice, and it just feels like you are exactly in the same room as everybody else. And so if that meeting now is followed by a session called iConversation. So the Icon Agent Program, where we give equity to agents who are performing, who are number one in their market, the most credible, the one I referred to earlier, they love to share, right? So every Friday they'll come up and we'll have three new icons and they'll share what it is that makes them successful, even though they're in a market that's thousands of miles away from the rest of our agents. But they do that because, you know, everybody's an owner in the enterprise. And when you have everybody as an owner and you're all marching towards the same thing, it's not a huge leap to start viewing an avatar-based environment as a real destination. And that's what it is for our agents now. And so, you know, Stephen Lee and I have been meeting several times a week for many, many months now, when we sit across a table from one another. It's just amazing. So I think the culture of ownership certainly comes into play. But as you probably know, I mean, there's just such diversity in the industry relative to what people have done before they got here. You know, people have been in education, they've been in law enforcement, and there's a real tremendous richness of the experience from all of that. And so if you have an agent-owned company and everybody's driving towards the same thing and they want to build the best company that they possibly can, and they all bring to the table different attributes, different backgrounds, different experiences, that becomes a pretty powerful force. And I think that too has fueled our growth. Now, the great thing is, when we're talking about an agent-owned agency, where our agents are the shareholders, when we acquired Virbela, you know, our agents are the shareholders of the company that acquired Virbela. So now, you know, we're starting to look at different opportunities and industries outside of real estate. And there are many, and I believe there are countless opportunities for service industries outside of real estate, whether that's the law from my own background, insurance sales, certain trainings. And we've got companies that are recreating equipment in Virbela, and they're teaching their employees how to use the equipment without having to take that equipment out of production. We've got universities. Stanford University Business School uses the platform. We have a couple of other schools now. We've got some really neat things that are happening. The U.S. Department of Defense uses the platform. So there's really broad application in any industry where somebody is paying too much because there are these fixed costs that are of diminishing utility. For me, my clients in the law were paying more per hour than they should have. I was spending more hours in a day than I wanted to or should have had to be there, and missing my kids as a result. And if you remove those costs and you can build community with those efficiencies, it really is powerful. We've had the Global Legal Summit, the World Legal Summit was held in Virbela within the last several months. In fact, I think I was in Australia when that happened. The attorneys, the lawyers from countries all over the globe that are meeting in our environment. So many, many more opportunities, but our agents are part and parcel to all of it. They get to participate in all of it. So they're really excited about it.
I was just thinking then while you were talking, it'd be really great to run education sessions for consumers on buying and selling property and property investing and things like that. And then that would become a form of lead generation or something like that. That would be a really interesting thing to do.
It would. And, you know, certainly anytime you want to use it, we're welcome to have you in. We've got some organizations now where we've been blessed to have leadership join us. The Asian Real Estate Association of America, for instance, their president or immediate past president is with us. And I thought they've got 18,000 members all over the place. We could bring them in there. We can put their name on a building and they can use it for a day for training. I think it's a great idea. Would love to have you do it.
Yeah, I'd love to take you up on that. But I just want to be assured that it's not going to be snowing there, because it's really hot outside and I see snow behind you right now.
It's so coming again tonight. I was there, of course, you may recall, it was Australian winter when I was going around the country, and relatively mild.
Yeah, we don't have weather anymore. We just have random weather events, I think, here in Australia. But no, we'll definitely take you up on that. So let's get on to some what's next sort of thing and a bit of actionable advice from what you've seen with EXP agents overseas. What do you think 2020 will bring for EXP?
Well, I think on the international front, I can tell you that we are way ahead of where we thought we would be, both in Australia and the UK. We've opened up a number of different provinces in Canada, so I think we're six Canadian provinces now. And we've got conversations going with people and potential leaders in a lot of different markets: Mexico, France, Finland, Germany, New Zealand, I mean, just all over. And our goal is to get into not fewer than three new countries next year. I think each of them comes with a little bit of a different ramp up time, because when you start introducing foreign language translation for our teams, our tech team in particular, that probably causes a 12-month launch as opposed to a bit of a rushed 6 to 8, which is what we did in these two markets. So that certainly will happen. I think we will continue to become the top destination for what we call mega teams, right? So these agents that are doing 500, 600, 800 transactions per year, you know, they love us because they can really scale, they can work together, they can get outside of their own market and build the platform. So that, I think that will continue. And I think we'll just continue to iterate around the agent value proposition, trying to always make it as good as it can possibly be. And then at the same time, we've introduced affiliated services in the United States this year, and we'll start to see those grow over the next several years. So financial services, I think, as you refer to it, for us, mortgage lending, title and escrow services. We've got a currency exchange partner now. So all of these things we're looking at and we're introducing, and I think that those will continue to grow over time. But I think ultimately 3 to 5 years, the real story here is more of a human interest story than it is about real estate, because again, we're going to have people with different cultural backgrounds, different language, different religions. You know, these are things that have the potential to divide people. They clearly do, right? In general society. I mean, the dialogue and the conversations that go on today in public discourse reflect the fact that people are often divided, and it's these differences that divide them. And I think the beautiful thing about the community we're building of people who all own the company is that they will make us stronger, they will make us richer, and we'll embrace them.
I think that's awesome. And the world is shrinking, and it's just because of the cloud and different digital tools and things like that. And it just sounds like a networking group I want to be part of, frankly, like, you know, like meeting all these different people with different experiences, because that's how you learn. What are the three things that the top agents at eXp are focusing on right now as far as their businesses go? Like, what advice would your top agents give to ours right now?
Well, I think the first and foremost would be, don't be afraid of change. Everybody who's at our company is here because they're not afraid of change. If you're not in the digital business generation space, you know, if all of your methods of business generation are still more traditional, that's going to work for a segment of the agent population for sure. But I think overwhelmingly over time, if you want to be in this business and you want to remain relevant and remain successful, you've got to learn to adapt with it. You mentioned Inman. Inman's a great thing to go to. We like to think that in our, you know, anywhere between 40 and 75 hours of live instruction every week, we're providing content that rivals, if not exceeds, what Inman provides, but we do it on a daily basis. So really, it's about having the mindset, you know, whether you like it or not, the business is changing. It doesn't look like it used to. You've got to get the business in different ways. You've got to add value in different ways. And the sooner you can open yourself up to that, and not just having to do it, but what's possible if you do it, I think that would be a great thing to do. Great, great advice to follow. And then third, really understand your place, your value in the whole process and the whole industry. There's nothing, I won't say it's frustrating, but it's somewhat disheartening. You know, you'll come across somebody who's such a top producer in the business. You ask them if they realize that they're the reason why they're succeeding, and they'll say yes. But then at the end of the day, they're stuck believing that the brand that they're affiliated with is really responsible for their success. And we know that's not true, right? Because if I go to any 500 person office or 100 person office or 10 person office, probably 60 to 80% of the people in the office aren't going to be producing at all. And then you've got people who, you know, are producing, but they're not producing at the same level of the top achiever. So whenever you talk to a top agent and they feel like they don't have it in themselves to really be that successful, and they attribute it to the brand, it's really hard, because obviously if it was the brand that was driving that success, then everybody in the office would be achieving at the exact same level. So you got to believe in yourself, and you got to realize that independent of any brand, and that includes eXp, independent of any brand, the real story is the agent and the value that they bring, and they shouldn't underappreciate the value that they represent.
I agree with you. I always use the example of Taylor Swift and L'Oreal. Like, you know, she might have promoted L'Oreal for a while, but she's definitely got more brand power now as an individual than the brand, right, she promotes. So, right. Yeah, absolutely. What's the best piece of actionable advice you've ever received?
I think it probably pertains to fear, right? The fear of the new or fear of change. I don't know if it was advice so much, but I saw a quote that, you know, people generally dislike most about others those things that they don't have the courage to do themselves. And we hear it now. Certainly our success has generated a no shortage of critics, people who will, you know, sort of manipulate and distort what we're all about. They'll say things that are entirely untrue. So, you know, it's the moment you start succeeding, people are going to do things to try to throw you off your game and try to get you to doubt what you're doing and to be uncertain about it. I would say over the last 10 years, I've learned a ton about myself, but more than anything else, and not just real estate, but business, you got to get back up after you've been knocked down. You got to expect the arrows. You know the critics are going to come, and you can't let it deter what you're ultimately trying to achieve, and you can't let it diminish the fun you're having while doing it. And this has been a lot of fun over the last 10 years, I think, for me and for everybody who's been part of it.
What is your best productivity tip or tech tool or something like that? We always ask leaders this question.
You know, for me, I would say we use Workplace by Facebook as our intranet. So in addition to the world, we've got a way in which our agents can form groups of their own within the intranet. So you might form a group for your team. You might form a project-based group. We might have some groups corporately, but any agent can use it. And so I think whether it's Workplace by Facebook or it's some sort of voice messaging system, you've got to have a way to really communicate on Workplace. Just on that, I mean, our classes, right? Not everybody can attend a class in our world at 11:30 on a Friday, right? So we record and we broadcast all of our classes in Workplace, so anybody can go in at any point and on demand get the value from the course. We've got documents, we've got listing presentations, we've got all sorts of collateral that gets passed back and forth among our agents, and it's really become a rich repository. So I think something like that needs to exist and will drive productivity every day of the week.
Amazing. Are there any business books you recommend or any books that have made a really big impact on your career?
I don't know about an impact, but I think about a year ago, one of our agents in Texas gifted me Tribes by Seth Godin. And as I read through it and, you know, it started to talk about how to incite a movement and the difference between leaders and managers. I recognized so much about the company that I was with in those words. And I'll go back to the Friday meeting. It's the leadership meeting because our agents are leaders, right? You know, we are an organization that among staff, we're very, very collaborative. It's not a tops-down environment. And I do think that if you look at our agents and you look at our growth and you look when it started and you look what it is that everybody's so excited about, we do have a movement afoot. So I really enjoyed reading the book and really love seeing how it's really translated into eXp.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jason, I'd like to thank you for sharing your story and the story of eXp with us today and for also sharing your knowledge. It's been amazing to have a really good chat with you. I always end our interviews on this one question. It's like it's somebody else's question, but if there was one thing that you'd like people to remember from listening to all of this, and we've covered a whole lot of ground, what would it be?
Always understand the opportunities that are in front of you, or even if you don't understand them, be willing to listen to them, you know, because you never know what you might be saying no to. And overall, I just want people to know in Australia that, you know, we're here to be a good neighbor. We're here to contribute to the industry. There's a company for everybody. Our company's not for everybody, but we'll be a good neighbor and we'll be respectful of both the traditions and the customs, but also the people who are part of the industry in Australia.
Amazing. Jason Gesing, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Samantha.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.